Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of the Verse by Verse podcast. Today, we'll be basically debunking slavery and why it's a good thing in the Bible. And first episode in a while, I know, was very sick. Finals and then trip to Cali. I feel like this would be a good follow-up to the topic of addictions from last episode, mostly because here we'll be talking about being slaves of sin, which is basically a result of an addiction to sin. But it'll make more sense as we go. And like I said, today we'll be talking about biblical slavery and what it is slash what it means for Christians to be slaves. And as a little spoiler, as you could probably figure from the way I'm talking, it's a good thing to be a slave of Christ specifically and acceptable to be a slave of another person. And like I said, it'll make more sense as we go. And as like a quick little disclaimer, it's not the same as the American way of slavery. Like, it's really not. But they did take that and kind of ran with it their own way, which is pretty much what happened. I'll be going more into it like later, but not too much. But first, I kind of wanted to give these little like disclaimers too. I'll be separating this into two parts this episode, the physical and spiritual side of slavery. It'll make more sense as we go. And also, the word servant slash slave, depending on the context, are pretty much interchangeable since the words in Greek and Hebrew do not change and is kind of just used in different ways in the Bible and the English translations. So the words in Greek and Hebrew, respectively, would be doulas and eben. So you can look it up if you don't believe me. And they're used in each of these verses, but not always the same in English, like I said. So yeah, just remember that. And secondly, I did want to like really emphasize on this. We have to go into this with the presupposition that God is just, fair, and the literal definition of complete love. He's perfect in all his ways, right? So we have to really like remember that to understand biblical slavery, not go into this with the wrong idea. Like I said, like if we go into this with the idea of the American way of slavery, it's not really going to help us. It's just going to make us think of it the wrong way, which it's not inherently bad. So So with that pretty much out of the way, I wrote this definition down so we have something set, and of course with references, so this will be more for the physical side of slavery. And so I put this up. So I put, quote, "In the Bible, slavery typically refers to a system where people are, quote unquote, owned by others, often with limited rights and freedoms," which this part is the same as the American version. However, it's important to understand that biblical slavery, and this will be context for the Old Testament specifically because you'll understand, differs in many ways from the modern concept of slavery that we associate with the transatlantic slave trade, which was marked by racial targeting, kidnapping, and brutality. So yeah, I have a verse on Exodus 21:16, so I would ask you guys to go to that. I'm going to type with you guys so no one falls behind. 21:16. All right, so this is more related to the kidnapping part, which is basically what happened. It says, Exodus 21:16, quote, "Kidnappers must be put to death, whether they are caught in possession of their victims or have already sold them as slaves," end quote. So, yeah, I mean, that's already, like, a huge problem with the way that the Americans did slavery, and, like, that's, like, just bringing them here the way they did, and racial targeting. We are all equal under God's eyes. Brutality is mistreatment and abuse, which obviously isn't right. And of course, I had the Exodus 21:16 verse to emphasize that kidnapping is also obviously really bad. So yeah, we look at the Old Testament, and slavery was often an economic arrangement. People could sell themselves into slavery slash servitude to pay off debts, which I have Exodus 21:2-6 and Leviticus 25:39-46. And I do want to emphasize this because people kind of like get the wrong idea about this. The God of the Old Testament is the same exact God we have now and in the New Testament as well. I don't really get why people try to separate them like almost like two different people. It's the same person. So Old Testament verses like this are perfectly fine to use. But I have some rules on it. I have some rules on this. That was the Exodus 21:2-6. So we can just read it together where it says, quote, "If you buy a Hebrew slave, he may serve for no more than 6 years. Set him free in the 7th year, and he will owe you nothing for his freedom. If he was single when he became your slave, he shall leave single. But if he was married before he became married, then his wife, before he became a slave, then his wife must be freed with him. If his master gave him a wife while he was a slave and they had sons or daughters, then only the man will be free in the 7th year, but his wife and children will still belong to his master. But the slave may declare, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I don't want to go free. If he does this, the master must present him before God. Then his master must take him to the door or doorpost and publicly pierce his ear with an awl. After that, the slave will serve his master for life. So this verse specifically, we can see that there is rules on this. And usually it would be no more than 7 years, pretty much. You set him free on the seventh, no more than 6 years. And yeah, people usually do this to like solve their money issues like debt and all, yeah, like servitude. And the verse 4-6 was basically rules about like the having a wife, having a kid, and like if someone didn't want to go free, then you could serve them for life. But see, that's more up to them. It's not like in America where they kind of just took you and told you you're going to be here for life, or like they ended up killing them half the time. So I was like, you know, not really a good way to go about it. But yeah, so we see that, and we could see that it's really inherently not such like a bad thing to do. So yeah, next is Leviticus 25:39-46. All right, there you go. If you guys are there, please read with me. It says, quote, if one of your fellow Israelites falls into poverty and is forced to sell himself to you, do not treat him as a slave. Treat him instead as a hired worker, as a temporary resident who lives with you. And he will serve you only until the year of Jubilee. At that time, he and his children will no longer be obligated to you, and they will return to their clans and go back to the land originally allotted to their ancestors. The people of Israel are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt, so they must never be sold as slaves. Show your fear of God by not treating them harshly. However, you may purchase male and female slaves among the nations around you. You may also purchase the children of temporary residents who live among you. Including those who have been born in your land, you may treat them as your property, passing them on to your children as permanent inheritance. You may treat them as slaves, but you must never treat your fellow Israelites this way. So yeah, this one's a bit harder because especially that 44-46, that you can treat them a certain way, but not the fellow Israelites this way. But it's just more of a result of not believing. But do not take this as the same way as Islam. Please do not, the way they try to kill everybody because they don't believe. But we could look at verse 39. We can see that if an Israelite fell into poverty and they sold themselves unto you, do not treat them as a slave. So it's supposed to be a more humane treatment. And also in 43, where it says to show your fear of God by not treating them harshly. Pretty obvious why this was different from the American way of slavery. I mean, they were very harsh. And, with the whole inherited property thing, I'm not really sure if that's what carried over in America. But, I mean, this is my thing. If it's in the Bible, I'm going to accept it with gratitude. There's no fault in there at the end of the day. So we can kind of just leave that there. And, yeah, so that's kind of more, that's like pretty much all the Old Testament context. So they had rules, like there was really only people who went because of debts and servitude. And so we have like the kidnapping that we can't do, the brutality obviously wrong, racial targeting, we're all equal. So yeah, I mean, looking at these, we can see that it's not inherently a bad thing. But because people are like, oh, it's wrong because we're kind of just dehumanizing people. No, it's really not. Like, if the Bible talks about loving your neighbor as yourself, and we still have this, then this still is a form of loving your neighbor as yourself. You get me? It still is at the end of the day. So yeah, now we can move on to the New Testament context in the Roman world. Slavery was widespread, and early Christians were often encouraged to maintain peace within the system while treating slaves with dignity, which I have Ephesians 6:5-9 and Colossians 3:22-25. So let's go on, like Ephesians. What are they, no caps? Ephesians. What did I say? 6:5-9. 6:5-9. All right. It says, quote, slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, remember that for later, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. So, yeah, this emphasizes the Old Testament stuff where, like, we're all equal under God, so brutality was wrong. But yeah, so, I mean, this pretty much is, like, my answer for whenever someone's asked about slavery. So, yeah, so the slaves were told to obey their earthly masters with deep respect and fear as you would serve Christ. But yeah, I mean, we look at verse 6 and it says, as slaves of Christ. So I'm telling you, I need you to remember this for the spiritual part too. But yeah, and then it says, masters, teach your slaves in the same way, don't threaten them. So, and you have the same master in heaven, he has no favorites. So yeah, I mean, this really teaches equality. That's why, like, when you have this whole, like, master and slave thing, people kind of treat it like a superiority thing when it's, at the end of the day, it's really not, because we are all the same under God. And even we look at verse 7, work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. People can take this into any type of job, not just specifically slavery, as kind of like a life, like, tip under God. Something I always took too. And, yeah, so the next verse would be Colossians 3, 22 through 25. So Colossians 3, 22 through 25. That's what Colossians is. Okay. Hopefully you got it there. And verse 22 through 25, quote, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you'll be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favor. So it's almost like, it's really similar to the Ephesians verse. What was it, Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, I think? Yeah. Okay, so it's very similar with the slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. It's just emphasizing, like I said, the same thing, that there is, like, this still existed even after Jesus ascended to heaven, not died, ascended to heaven. And, yeah, I mean, it still wasn't a bad thing. It's not like Jesus came, abolished slavery, and then left, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't. This was still fine to do even after. So, yeah, as long as you don't take it maliciously, which is what happened in America, it's okay at the end of the day. So, like, if you want to take that, like, and believe it, you really should. But if not, I mean, I just ask that you should, because at the end of the day, we have to accept everything in here. Because remember, Christians are believers of sola scriptura, which is basically that the Bible is, like, the ultimate authority for us, and it is. So I ask that you really come to terms with it at the end of the day. But yeah, what else do I have? Okay, so I said, next, we can see that Paul emphasizes that all believers are equal in Christ. So I did have this. So what is this? Galatians. I think I do remember this, 3:28. Yeah. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So yeah, like I said, it goes back to everything I was talking about earlier about equality. We're all equal under God. There's no favorites, like the other verses said. None of that, right? Like, we're all one under, not one, but we're all equal under God, and that we shouldn't be treating each other like one is better than the other when none of us are. At the end of the day, we're all sinners. I mean, yeah, we're all sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. Like, it's, at the end of the day, we should be treating each other nicely, equally, and loving each other as ourselves. But yeah, with the whole, like, being kind in everything you do, I did have a Philemon verse 1:15-16 to urge kindness and love towards slaves. So let me find this. Philemon 1:15-16. I hope I'm not going too fast, and I hope I'm not going too slow either. Alright. It says, quote, it seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother of the Lord. So as a context, Sorry. That was a very long pause. But okay, yeah, he was someone who just was not trying to stay there anymore. I think he came to the faith, and then he wanted to help Paul, and then he talked, I don't remember who he talked to, I think it was to Philemon, about him coming back as a brother of Christ, so we have to treat him as more than like a slave that was an unbeliever, but someone who was a brother of Christ. So yeah, I mean, when even if we aren't, like even if we are with someone who isn't a believer, like friends or family or a lover, you still should treat them equally at the end of the day with love and kindness. It doesn't say, oh, only be like that to believers. That's something Islam teaches, so it's not something that we do. So yeah, but yeah, basically all I had, and then I had like, basically making this short or like a little bit broader, it basically means belonging to someone, which was slavery, but I mean, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. So yeah, reading the verses and reading the Bible, we see that slavery wasn't the same as the one we had in America, mainly because the slavery in the Bible was much more humane and fair. It's basically like a summary of everything. Like, I'm just thinking about this right now. Rather than the abuse of power or disobedience that took place much later. But, I mean, a lot of people like to ask, like, why? Like, why was it like this? And why wasn't the American version like this, much more humane and fair? Because, remember, people like to treat America as, like, a Christian nation. Like, it was founded on Christian principles. And then, like, a lot of, like, manifest destiny, imperialism, like, they believe they could, or American exceptionalism, they believe they could kind of do whatever they want because they are better. But they also have Christian values, mainly with the whole manifest destiny. They believe it was God's right that they gave to them, so they kind of do whatever they want. But and they kind of took things like this and just kind of like twisted it in their own like kind of sinful ways. But yeah, that's pretty much my answer, like why that happened. It was because of sin and the result of sin. I kind of thought of it as like owners, they get prideful and have like I said, that sense of superiority to do whatever they want and treat their slaves unfairly, targeting them and the slaves with constant disobedience, which doesn't help either, which we see in Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. It does go both ways to a certain extent. I wouldn't want to be like, oh, the owner, because of course we know how the owners were. They were very, very messed up. But also it does say, the one I went through earlier, Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, that slaves should obey their earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Like, disobedience does not help anyone. And, yeah, I mean, it may sound, like, a little bit harsh, but, it's just kind of what it is at the end of the day, because, remember, our masters aren't humans, even if it does feel like it physically. Our master is Christ, and God the Father, he is our master, pretty much. And that's perfectly fine. That's something we have to come to terms with, right? Like, that's the whole thing of being humble and everything, because if you were probably an arrogant, you wouldn't want to be someone's basically slave, right? You wouldn't. And I mean, it sounds reasonable at first, but like at the end of the day, it's like you'll see in the spiritual part, like you're never really truly free. But yeah, even with disobedience, like running away, I'm pretty sure the Bible does say like not to return them to their masters if they run away and take refuge with you specifically. I'm pretty sure that's in Deuteronomy, I think it's 23. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 15 through 16, okay. Yeah. So it says, quote, if slaves should escape from their masters and take refuge with you, you must not hand them over to their masters. Let them live among you in any town they choose and do not oppress them. So yeah, even when stuff like that happened, it said really not to, like, return them, like, turn them in. Like, basically don't be a snitch, right? And, like, just take them in with kindness. And, yeah, so even with that, it shows God's mercy and patience, even in these kind of situations where, even though it says not to disobey, if you were to do that for any reason, I guess, you shouldn't hand over them to their masters and just stay with you. Like, I mean, it really shows his patience at the end of the day. But yeah, that's pretty much everything I have on the physical side. So what you should really take from this is that American slavery really wasn't the same as the physical slavery we had during the Old and New Testament, both. Two, that God is the same God from the Old and New Testament. Do not try to separate them, because that's kind of odd to me, because it's still the same exact person being. Everything else, like the verse and all that, it shows that there is a sense of fairness in here, that we are all equal. And it still shows God's patience in the Old Testament as well. He wasn't just some wrathful, vengeful God. My bad. But he really wasn't. So, yeah, I think that's kind of like most of the things we should take from this. So, yeah, physical slavery is not bad. I'm telling you now, it's not a bad thing. But if you still disagree, like, just talk to me, and I could show more verses on it, because, my gosh, if I showed everything, we'd be here forever. But yeah, so like I said, that's just the physical side of slavery. Of course, we have the spiritual side of slavery as well, so this will be part two, which is slaves of God. So being a slave of God in the Bible means pretty much three things: total surrender and service to God, freedom from sin and belonging to Christ, and a life of holiness, righteousness, and obedience. It'll come back together really fast. But the Bible says that everyone, literally everyone, is a slave. But like, to what specifically, that's more up to you. We're either slaves of sin or, what'd I say? Obedience. So we look at Romans 6:16. Romans 6:16-18. Oops, not 28. Might be in. But yeah, I mean, like, this part specifically, do not take obedience as works, because it's not going to get you salvation. But, Romans 6:16-18 says, quote, "Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. This also leads to annihilationism." Why eternal hell isn't a thing, but that's something I want to go over another time. But, then it says 17, "Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin. You have become slaves to righteous living." But what is righteous living? If you're slaves to righteous living, that means you are obeying God, which is slavery to obedience. And slavery to God. At the end of the day, we are slaves regardless. So we're either slaves to sin, which leads to death, or slaves to Christ, which is, I'm telling you, is perfectly fine, because, like I said, it's total surrender and service to God, freedom from sin and belonging to Christ, and a life of holiness, righteousness, and obedience. So, yeah, it leads to basically all good things. And, that's kind of what you can take from that. And then, so this kind of goes back to also what I said about that God, it goes with the presupposition that God is just, loving, and perfect. Because serving him is a lot better than serving everything that's wrong with the world, you know what I mean? Like, it's, at the end of the day, it's Christ. But, yeah. I also just wanted to say that I think 1 Corinthians 7:22 is amazing for showing the parallel for both slave and master, and that we are all equal under God's eyes. Pretty sure that is the one. No, I actually didn't go over this one. It's kind of crazy. I feel like I did. All right, well, let's go look at it. 1 Corinthians 7:22. I always have these verses kind of just there. Man, okay. So yeah, it says, quote, "And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord God called you, you are now free in the Lord. And if you were free when the Lord called you, you are now a slave of Christ." So, so free and physical slaves, all at the end of the day, are all under, like, the same, like, circumstance under Christ. We're all equal. So yeah, slaves are now free, and the free are slaves of Christ. Like, remember, like, at the end of the day, the slaves will still be slaves to Christ, and the free will still be free in the Lord. But they're both also slaves, so you get me? Like, it's the spiritual side that we're looking at now. But, now I just kind of have, like, a bunch of verses where, like, that relate to this topic, and, it used more servant, and, what's the verse I had? Leviticus 22:55. So I kind of just want to go, like, over, like, a lot of verses to really, like, drill this into everyone's heads, including mine, because I struggled with this for a while too. I used to think that slaves used to be just, like, a mistranslation, but at the end of the day, it's not. it's what it is. So yeah, Leviticus 22:55, it says, quote, "For the people of Israel belong to me, they are my servants," which uses the word Eben in Hebrew, so I mean, it still counts at the end of the day. "Whom I brought out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God." So it just brings it back to slavery, servitude, and yeah, they belong to God. They belong to him. So like I said, like that broad definition I had was pretty much just belonging to someone. So in this case, we belong to God. I didn't even mean to do that, but it kind of just happened. Praise be to God. But yeah, then there's a couple like one verse one chapters that kind of call us slaves or servants. So it's for Titus, James, 2 Peter, and Revelation. So we can just look at Titus 1:1. I'm just going to speed run this one because they're pretty short. So yeah, Titus 1:1 says, quote, "This letter is from Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ." And it says, "I've been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen and teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives." But yeah, I mean, that first part, this letter is from Paul, a slave of God. Like, right, we are, like I said, slaves of Christ. So yeah, like I said, I'm going to be speed running this because they are short. It's pretty self-explanatory. So yeah, James 1:1 says, quote, "This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings." So yeah, letter from James, a slave of God of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the prophets, I don't know, but like they reference themselves as slaves. Like at the end of the day, we should be doing the same as well. But yeah, 2 Peter 1:1 also says, quote, "This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who shed the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior." So more emphasis on it, self-explanatory. And lastly, Revelation 1:1. Gosh, Revelation. Studying it for years. Anyways, all right. Revelation 1:1, quote, "This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants that must soon take place." He sent an angel. Whoa. Oh, yeah, show his servants. My bad. I was so confused for a second. Yeah, the servants. The servants still uses doulas, so still counts. So, yeah, from this spiritual slavery side, we kind of just we finished the verses, so at least, like, for now. But yeah, we can see that we're always going to be a slave, whether to good or bad, and that we of course need to choose Christ, since we know that he is good and perfect in all his ways. We've kind of just been emphasizing this the whole time. Like at the end of the day, we need to choose Christ in everything we do, whether it's slavery, servitude, love, kindness, like all good things come from Christ. So it's like whatever we do, we have to do it for Christ, and praise be to God for that, honestly. But yeah, so now that we've gone through all this, because we're pretty much done, I wanted to ask you what you guys are taking from this and kind of what we all can take from this. And I really want you to stop and think about this, like, actually what we can take from everything we've gone over right now. I want you to actually, like, pause and just think before, like, we get to, like, the very, very last part. But yeah, whenever you're done actually thinking and pondering on this, I want to leave this departing verse like I always plan to do. And today will be Romans 6:22. So let's go to that. It says, quote, "But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life." So, a lot. This honestly has so much in it just for being two sentences long. So, "Now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God." So now you're free from sin and become slaves of God. So again, back to everything I was saying. "Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life." Not, well, I don't want to keep talking about annihilationism and eternal. I can't keep going back to that. But yeah, I really am planning to keep going with this podcast. I do want to like upload regularly. Like, I'm sorry for being gone for so long. I swear I really want to make this a regular thing. But yeah, thank you again for listening. This is the end of it. I don't even know how far we're in. I hope it's not too long. But yeah, thank you for listening, like I said, and God bless you all. Thank you.